now plugged in to the Delphi podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today I'm here in person in Paris at ETHCC with Jesse Pollock, who is the founder of Coinbase's Base. Jesse, how's it going?
It's going great. Happy Thursday.
How's your Paris adventure been so far?
Paris has been awesome. You know, it's not as hot as last year. A lot of builder energy, a lot of things going on. We're, you know, in between having opened up mainnet for builders last Thursday and opening up for the world over the next few weeks. And so a little bit of hecticness, but overall really exciting.
This country hates air conditioning, which is
they really
which
do.
Makes it tough.
I feel lucky my hotel room has some air conditioning.
I'm with you. It's a perk in this part of the world. Well, tell us a bit about yourself. Tell us about your journey with Coinbase. Tell us about how you got to Base. Maybe throw in an illustrative story of if it was hard or not to get this through management.
Yeah, I joined Coinbase in 2017. I actually came in through an acquihire. I'd started a company in 2013, dropped out of school to do that, working mostly with crypto companies. We were building kind of identity login software, so working with folks like Bitfinex and BitMEX back in 2014. And then that business didn't work out, joined Coinbase. Pretty quickly stepped into kind of a leadership role where I was supporting all the teams building Coinbase, Coinbase Pro, Coinbase Wallet, and grew those teams from 2017 to 2021 from about 3 or 4 people to 200 or so. So it was a big wow. Scaling journey from 2017 to middle of 2021. And a lot of fun, learned a ton, definitely made a lot of mistakes, got to see what it was like to go through 100x growth in 6 months. And then I took a step back and, you know, had a bunch of conversations with our executive team. And I think the takeaway was there was this opportunity to figure out how do we bring Coinbase on chain? If you look at Coinbase's history, we were started before Ethereum existed, back when it was just Bitcoin. We've kind of always been a centralized exchange. And just in the last few years, we've started building what I would consider our first on-chain products, things like Coinbase Wallet, USDC, CBETH. And they're performing really well, but they're still a really small percentage of our overall portfolio. And so the idea was, what would it take to get us from 10% on-chain to 100% on-chain over the next decade? So I took on that mandate in late 2021. We iterated through a bunch of different ideas, trying to figure out like what's going to be the catalyst to shift the internal culture to make it possible for us to come on chain, to start to build more of these products and smart contracts in a more decentralized way. The first 3 products that we tried didn't work. They were like, they didn't work. They didn't catalyze anything internally. We kind of pivoted from them. And then I think as we were building those products, we basically saw that at every point, we were kind of getting stuck with the same questions, which is how do we build these on-chain products and where do we build them? Like literally, where do we deploy smart contracts in such a way that they work with all the Coinbase products? It makes sense for our business. It grows our ecosystem. And so after kind of running into that problem for a few times and having those products not succeed, we said, hey, let's go and try and solve that problem instead. Let's go build a developer platform that can enable Coinbase to come on chain, and in doing so, also open it up and help bring the whole world on chain. And so that was really the origination of Base. That was its goal. It was to kind of help us transition into the next era of the business as an on-chain business. We started that in kind of late summer 2022, launched a testnet in February of this year, and here we are. You know, mainnet is open for builders, and we're heading towards mainnet launch for everyone soon.
Nice. No, that's a really good overview. So, I mean, going through iterations on how you want to expand Coinbase's business to be more on-chain, in hindsight, it worked out, right? Like you guys are here with Base, but in that process with 3, not call them failures, but growing pains.
Failures.
Okay,
we call them failures.
Okay, that's fair. I like it. It's canon.
But we learned things from them. I mean, they were failures, but then if you look, they were failures, but some of the spaces were identity, kind of advertising. And if you look, there's kind of learnings from those emerging in Coinbase's products today. So like our CB.ID product is an example. We were thinking a lot about how do we do on-chain identity. Now we have an on-chain identity that anyone can claim. We're going to be doing a lot more around that in the next few months. Similarly with advertising, we were kind of doing a, full kind of on-chain advertising infrastructure, but we've actually now started rolling out some of that in our Quest product that allows dApps to reach Coinbase customers at scale with kind of guided quests incentives. And so I think they were definitely failures. They didn't work. They didn't kind of get the right product market fit internally, but that's, I feel like that's just kind of the journey for trying to create something, trying to found something.
Yeah. But you didn't have to bang on the wall after each failure and say, look, we want to go on chain. We want to expand our company. Like, this was a value from the start, right? Or
not? You know, it was a process. Okay. It was a process. I think there was always kind of high level alignment that we want to be moving more on chain. I think there was not always clarity around what the path was. And when you have a path that gets ambiguous, especially, you know, as we went, you know, we started that at the end of 2021, we were still full bull market. And we, you know, started working on Base after having gone through those three failures at the late fall of 2022, when we were like solidly in the depths of the bear market. And so, you know, the combination of ambiguity and kind of failing on those three products and change in environment, you know, reduced resourcing, we went through our first layoffs. It definitely made it so it was tenuous. You know, after the third product that we tried, we actually made the decision to shut down my team. And the guidance was like, wow, you guys have done a lot of great work. You've explored a lot. We've learned a lot, but like, go find somewhere else in the business to make an impact. Yeah, it was hard. It was hard. It was the right thing. You know, like looking back, it was definitely the right thing because we had a bigger team. You know, it was like 8 engineers and me and
an engineering manager. How long between that failure and the Base idea?
It was like a month.
A month.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Nice. So we literally, they shut that down. They put most of, I was part of the process of making that decision, but we put most of the resources to accelerate kind of other parts of our cloud business. And then me and three other people kind of had the mandate of like, figure out how do we take all of our learnings and inject them into other parts of the business. And we looked at ourselves and said, let's run a couple experiments just for a couple weeks. And one of those experiments was launching an internal testnet for layer two. And the second we launched it, I think all of us looked at each other and was like, we were like,
this is it.
This is it. Like, nice. This is the thing that we've been looking for a year.
Especially after those little close.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an awesome feeling. Then we had to reconvince people to give us a fourth try.
But look, guys, this is it. I promise. This is it.
Right. Exactly. But they were excited and backed us and gave us ourselves to go and do it. And that was the core team. It was just the four of us made it happen.
So I see a lot of L1s, L2s as a venture capitalist, right? I see a lot of ecosystems being built on them, right? A lot of the times it's, you know, the same perps plays, the same stable coins, mm-hmm. the same lending markets, the same, you know, XYZ on that L2. And honestly, it's kind of getting redundant, a little boring, right? And it kind of feels like if you're just copying the base primitives, you're not, you know, taking full extent of the technology of that L2 that offers you, right? Or that L1, it's just kind of boring. Like, what do you think will be built on base that differentiates it? Or what past primitives that we already have can be built on base that gives a different experience?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think we'll definitely see kind of the full build out of a financial ecosystem on Base. Obviously, Coinbase, you know, a huge part of our business historically has been financial and will continue to be financial. And I think it's a place where we have a huge amount of assets, both literally assets. Like, we have $130 billion worth of TVL, as I like to say, locked up in Coinbase's currently private L2. But I think we also have assets in, you know, a large user base, a large institutional customer base. And I think connecting those things up, particularly as the kind of financial infrastructure on chain matures, I think that's going to be a huge value add for the whole ecosystem in happening on Base. But I think where we're starting, and I think what I'm most excited about, is how we can start to enable new consumer experiences on chain. And this is not just finance. This is music, it's media, it's gaming, it's food, it's advocacy and politics. And I think these use cases have really just started to emerge in the last 6 months. And I'm really excited to see a bunch of those on Base. You know, a few examples off the top of my head. We have a business called Blackbird that's building on Base that is started by the founder of Eater and Resy, who Ben Leventhal is awesome. and they're building a full kind of restaurant loyalty platform on top of on-chain. It's a really sick experience. You walk in, you tap your phone, uses NFT, you sit down, they know who you are, you order, everything goes on your bill, you pay with crypto, you walk out. Wow. Like, you know, there's just a totally kind of transformed restaurant experience. So that they're scaling, like they're already, I think, in 80 restaurants around the country and growing pretty quickly. We have Parallel Gaming, which is a really cool kind of train card game, a la Magic the Guardian, that Magic.
The Gathering?
Met the Gathering, not the Guardian.
Parallel's Magic, amazing.
Yeah, Parallel's very awesome. Cool. They've been building their ecosystem for, you know, years at this point. And they're about to open up their beta, you know, on base in the next few weeks. And then they have kind of V2 and V3 of their products as well, which I'm really excited about. This Colony game that's all AI powered. And so I think that that kind of non-financial stuff, we haven't really seen as much in crypto, but I think it's coming. I think it's coming really quickly, and we're excited to support it and help it grow.
Nice. That's awesome. I guess one of the enviable positions of Base is the, you know, direct or indirect connection to Coinbase's 100 million users, 130, mm-hmm. 150 billion TVL. Let's see what prices are at. You know, that is a crazy position to be in. Is that a moat though, or do you think other L2s will be able to, like, you know, capture or target Coinbase's centralized business in some way, or is Base unique here?
You know, I think it's a really great starting point. And look, it's not like we're going to be able to snap our fingers and bring all those people on chain month one. You know, it's going to be a process. Also, I think, like, realistically, when you look at consumer scale web businesses, even at the scale that we're at, we're not the biggest company in the world, right? Like, you look at Facebook, they have 2 billion monthly actives, right? WhatsApp, Instagram, TikTok, even Twitter, you know, hundreds of millions of monthly actives. And so I think there's a lot of kind of growth ahead. And I don't think that we're going to be given anything on a golden platter just because we have kind of some growth to start with. I think what is really required is us, you know, Coinbase figuring out and working together with Base to figure out, how do we build really great products? Like, how do we build products on chain that people want to use? And how do we make it so Coinbase is the place that they go to use those products? And some of those are going to be, you know, third-party products. A lot of those, you know, are going to be third-party products, dApps that people access through Coinbase and Coinbase Wallet. Some of them might be first-party. But the thing that I think is the way Base succeeds is by working together and by figuring out, how do we build great products? And so that's what I'm focused on. It's great, building great products, enabling teams at Coinbase to do that, enabling teams outside of Coinbase to do that, because ultimately that's what's going to scale, you know, the on-chain economy.
That's a hell of an answer. So you have a lot of responsibility. I'm sure it's not lost on you that Coinbase has one of the strongest leadership and cleanest brands in the space that's helping to champion US regulations, to help, you know, be the place where people go to when they think of the cleanest, safest crypto exchange, right? And I love everything that Paul's done, and Brian and you, but now that you have Base, you're opening up the possibilities to anything being built on Base, right? There could be a Ponzi built, there could be a project where people lose a lot of money, right? How do you kind of mix that with Coinbase's incredible image? Because,
And I think, you know, this is a really important tension. It's one that we've kind of engaged with really seriously over the last 8 months. I think one of our guiding principles is that in order to build an open global economy, you have to have decentralization, right? If you have too much centralization, it basically becomes impossible to build that open global economy. And so that's kind of our starting point. It's like decentralization has to exist in order to enable that economy, which will then kind of downstream enable all the economic freedom around the world. So from that starting point, I think what that means for Base is it means that Base is going to be open and permissionless and decentralized, like Ethereum, like OP Mainnet, like other chains, because that's the way we're going to be able to build that economy. That's the way there's going to be the innovation. There's going to be the opportunity for people to create. And I think the way that that fits into Coinbase is that Coinbase is going to continue being the place where people can find the trusted things on Base, you know, where we curate, where we help people figure out what's right for me. And then we make those experiences really, really easy to use. And that's, you know, going to be a little bit of a balance that we're still working out. But I'm pretty optimistic that we're going to be able to kind of make Base a best-in-class decentralized open platform and make Coinbase continue to be a curatorial kind of interface that gives people a really trusted, really easy-to-use experience.
That's awesome. I think that like decentralization maximalists will say, this should be kind of a free-for-all, right? You should be able to do whatever you want, build whatever you want. But when I think about Base for Coinbase, and this is kind of a new thought, I could be wrong here or get blasted for this, but I don't have a problem with like having a curated set of apps and experiences for people to use that they can trust. How much like curation centralization will be at play here versus how much will be totally open?
Yeah, and I think if you look at what Coinbase already does, we already curate apps at Coinbase, right? Like if you go to coinbase.com/web3, you'll see a list of dApps that we've looked at, we've reviewed. There's ratings, there's reviews from customers that kind of give other customers insights into what's good, what's bad. But that kind of process of helping people understand what's safe and how can they use it is really, really important to us. That stuff's going to remain on the Coinbase side. And that's going to be a Coinbase role. On the Base side, we're going to keep open, decentralized block space, like Ethereum, like OP mainnet. That's a really, really important foundation, which is going to enable all the innovation that lets us get those incredible apps that Coinbase can curate.
Nice. That's awesome. So let's go into a bit of your decision to build on the OP stack. You know, you said that the time between that third kind of failure and this idea was a month. I don't know if you had all the technical details laid out in that time, like if you guys went through the whole process, but it sounds like things happened really fast. Is that because of your like technical knowledge of the space and your ease of figuring out where you wanted to build, or was this kind of a deep dive into something? Because you are championing an L2 community here for sure.
Yeah, it was definitely the result of a deep dive. You know, we were able to go from, you know, us kind of winding down that effort to having a rollout because in parallel to the product explorations that we'd been doing, we'd been trying to figure out how to answer that question of where do we build. And so in the first half of 2022, we did a whole kind of meta-analysis at the company level. We called it kind of like preferred platform exploration, where we try to figure out where do we want to build? How do we want to build? You know, do we want to write EVM contracts, Rust contracts, Solana, you know, Cosmos app chains? And we did that process. It took about 6 months. And at the end of it, where we landed was we're going to build EVM because that's kind of what we're seeing adoption natively in internally, as well as where we're seeing the most developer activity, TVL, et cetera, et cetera. We are going to build on Ethereum because that's where we feel like there's the strongest foundation of decentralization. That's super important for building the open global economy. And then because Ethereum can't support Coinbase scale, we're going to build on layer two. But that layer two is still relatively undefined, and there's still a lot more work to do. And so with that insight, starting, I think, in kind of April of 2022, we actually started working on something called EIP 4844 or proto-dank sharding. We've been now helping lead that with the Ethereum core contributors and the Optimism team for more than a year. And the goal with that is to lower roll-up fees by 5 to 10x. By doing an upgrade to Ethereum that basically is meant to enable rollups in a better way. So that's one kind of thing we started as a result of that decision. The other thing we started, again, in parallel to the product exploration that we were doing, was a similar analysis of, okay, we're EVM, we're Ethereum, and we're layer two. What layer two? And like, what's the strategy? What does this look like? For that, we went and we talked to a bunch of different teams in the layer two space. We got a good sense of kind of their technology. We also built a better and better sense of how this ecosystem was going to play out and what the architecture was going to look like. And I think in particular, we shifted our perspective from thinking at the beginning of that process that there was going to be one L2 that was going to be monolithic, that everyone was going to kind of go on to starting to believe that there are actually going to be many of these things that kind of run in parallel, that interoperate and that work more like a mesh. And in that context, I think that was one of the things that gave us confidence that we could launch Base, where we said, hey, if we launch Base, it's not going to be about, oh, we need to make Base the only L2, we need to be zero sum with all these other folks. Instead, it's like, oh no, by building Base, we're basically putting our money where our mouth is. We're saying we're going to contribute to scaling Ethereum by building one of these chains that's going to provide capacity to the overall network. And so that kind of insight is what enabled us to do Base. As we did all of that kind of analysis, we had already been collaborating with the Optimism team on EIP 4844, but we continued going deeper with them. We dug into the technology, you know, the OP stack, the Bedrock upgrade that they just rolled out in production, but you know, they've been working on for 2 years now at this point. And I think we just came away really impressed. We felt really good about the technology. We loved the approach from an open source perspective where, you know, we started building Base without even talking to their team. We just like spun up the testnet. Our lawyers were like, go for it. It's MIT license. You're good. And we also really liked that the Optimism team felt kind of complementary to us, right? Coinbase is this centralized public company, massive scale, massive brand, massive distribution. Optimism Collective is a decentralized DAO who's been leading the way on decentralized governance and thinking about Ethereum scaling for 5 years. And so those two things kind of felt like they fit together. And I think that, along with the technology, along with the open source, along with the relationship we've been building with the team, kind of pushed us over the edge and said, this is the right fit for us to focus our energies on.
Nice. So the brand fit, the tech fit, like that all makes a lot of sense. I can see why you landed where you landed. I know this isn't like a technical episode, but there's an intense focus on ZK tech here at ETH Paris, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's viewed as the end game technology. There's a lot of problems to solve, but it seems like that's where the world will, you know, eventually end up. Why did you guys decide not to build directly with a ZK partner, or does Optimism have this? I'm a little out of the loop on that.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think this is kind of the question that we've been asking for the last year and a half as an industry, which is like, which is better, optimistic rollups or ZK rollups? And I think as we were digging into technology and the OP stack, the thing that kind of lit up in our head, lit a light bulb, was having an optimistic prover or a ZK prover for a rollup is an implementation detail. It's basically how you connect that chain to Ethereum layer one. But that implementation detail can be upgraded, it can be swapped, it can be parallelized. And so the thesis with the OP stack is that we're starting with an optimistic prover, but that over time, we're going to also have ZK provers, validity provers that bring the best of, you know, that technology from a finality perspective, let us get more redundancy. And that's actually starting to come to fruition now. We, you know, being the Optimism Foundation, who kind of led the charge on this with our support, just published a request for proposals for teams to build a ZK prover for the OP stack.
Nice.
You have this generalized technology stack. We have an optimistic prover that we're working on. Hey, someone else come build a ZK prover. We got proposals from teams like Risk Zero, who just raised, I think, $50 million Series A, is building a general purpose ZK VM. The O1 Labs team, who built Mina, which is kind of market leading ZK technology at an L1. They basically said, hey, here's a path where we can take our technology and we can use it to build a ZK prover for the OP stack. And those are credible paths. We've dug into them and it feels like there's a real opportunity to get ZK prover on the OP stack next year. And so I think that kind of approach changes the dynamic a little bit. It's no longer like, is optimistic rollup better or worse than a ZK rollup? Instead, it's like, we've built a rollup and now we've created a market for teams to build provers for that rollup. And that's going to create an environment where we can innovate in parallel in a bunch of different ways and ultimately get to an outcome where we have maybe multiple provers running in parallel, which provide more security to the chain, more decentralization, faster finality, all without doing it in a centralized kind of single track way. And so I think it's a beautiful example of decentralization, and credit to the Optimism Collective for like creating an open stack that is flexible enough to be able to do that, and for creating funding mechanisms, governance mechanisms, and community to attract people who are actually really interested in building that sort of technology.
That's cool. I didn't know the nuance of how the tech itself on the prover side can continue to be customized and innovate, right? So you're not exactly as locked in as I guess I thought you were. Is there anything that you'd wake up one day and say, you know what, Optimism was the wrong choice, I want to go somewhere else? Like, is it lack of innovation on that prover ZK side? Is it, you know, somebody else comes out with something fantastic? What would
we're in this for the long haul. You know, we Coinbase has been around for 12 years, I guess, at this point. And I think one of our strengths is just being relentlessly present and here. And that's kind of how I feel about this. Like, this is not going to happen in weeks or months. This is going to happen in years, bringing the whole rest of the world on chain. And so we've, you know, really decided to lean in for the long term with optimism, participate in a bunch of the systems processes. We joined as a core developer of the OP stack. We're actually going to be contributing a portion of our sequencer revenue to fund public goods like the OP stack through the Optimism Collective. We've been contributing to a whole neutrality framework that Optimism has been drafting, that they're going to open up for community review and input in the next couple of weeks, that Base will be committed to, so that, you know, when it comes to things like consistent block space across Base and OP mainnet and Ethereum that's open and permissionless, we've committed to that. And we have a framework and a network structure that we think enables us to do that. And so this is a really long-term collaboration. And it's not just us and the Optimism Collective, there's a ton of other teams. You know, if you look at what's happened since Base, we kind of opened the floodgates. We've seen Zora launch an OP stack chain. We've seen Gitcoin and the public goods network. And we recently saw Celo announce that they're moving from an L1 to an OP stack L2. I know of at least one other L1 that's making that pivot from an L1 to an OP stack L2. And then probably 5 to 10 other like products that are basically saying, hey, like, what if we added this to our technology stack?
Why are they switching? Why are all these L2s, L1 switching to OP? Why is that the easiest transition?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of wanting to be aligned with Ethereum, right? Like, I think there's gravity well in Ethereum that's sucking everything in because there's so much kind of inertia. There's so many integrations. There's so much under the water of the iceberg of Ethereum where, you know, like at Coinbase, for instance, we probably have thousands of human hours that have gone into supporting EVM things, you know, in Coinbase Wallet and Coinbase, just because that was the default. And so that's not just Coinbase. That's like many, 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 many companies across the industry. And I think people are seeing, wow, like, I can actually reach more developers. I can have more impact. I can take my community and give them more firepower if I'm more aligned to Ethereum, if I support the EVM. And then they're looking to transition. I think when they're looking to transition, why are people choosing the OP stack? I imagine for the same reasons that we chose it, right? It's great technology. It's open source and freely available, so you can do whatever you want with it. The team is really solid and fun to work with. And, you know, there's a credible story around decentralization that I think we all can believe in. And so, yeah, it's, you know, seems pretty like a lot like a no-brainer to me.
Nice. So there has to be a list of things on a long, not short term, but a long-term horizon that not keep you up at night, but maybe unsolved issues, aspects of decentralization, things that you want to solve that are a ways out. What are the hardest technical, social, political, whatever problems that, you know, are going to be on your plate for the next 1 to 2 years?
Yeah. I mean, I think technical decentralization of these layer twos in the OP stack is definitely, you know, it's a P0 priority for us. We're not as far as we need to be. Coinbase has, you know, we've joined as the second core developer of the OP stack, so we're now contributing to it. Labs has been working really hard on it. And I think we're making really good progress, but that's definitely like pretty consuming, making sure that we get to the right level of decentralization, have confidence in the platform and have confidence that it can keep the open on-chain economy accessible to everyone. So I'd say that's a big one. And then I'd say the second one is, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, I think it's just finding teams that really want to lean in and build incredible products with us. Like, that's what's going to enable the next billion people to come on-chain, incredible products. And I think there's a lot of times where folks get distracted today, where it's like, oh, tokens, or oh, incentives, or oh, whatever. But none of that solves the problem of adoption if we don't have really, really, really great products. Mm-hmm. And so that's where my energy is going right now. It's like, how do I find builders inside the ecosystem, inside of Coinbase, who are ready to like put their heads down and build for the next few years and create incredible products that will bring the next billion people on chain?
So Coinbase's brand is so solid that you can probably more easily attract Silicon Valley Web2 devs to Coinbase and Base much easier than new upstart crypto project can, mm-hmm. right? You have like, you know, the HR and the stock options and all the things that people expect. Are you guys dedicating resources to building apps on Base yourself through that leverage?
Yeah, we're definitely just like starting to build dApps on Base. I'd say it's still early and we want to make sure that we don't kind of crowd out the ecosystem, right? Like if it's all just first party dApps from Coinbase, I don't think that that's going to lead to a super vibrant, healthy ecosystem. And so we're doing some of that, but also creating a ton of space for developers and builders. We're also kind of taking the bull by its horns on the education front. We launched something called Basecamp, which is a fully self-guided curriculum where you can learn smart contract development. You kind of earn NFTs as you go. We've seen thousands of people do that. We're also rolling out something called Base Bootcamp, which is a fully guided curriculum where you just come and you learn how become a smart contract engineer. We did the first pilot inside of the company, which is awesome. We've been working with Coinbase engineers to help them make the transition. And we're working towards kind of opening that up a little bit wider so we can get some of that top talent from other kind of Web2 companies who are interested in this, interested in transitioning, but maybe haven't had the support or resources they need.
Nice. What is the most contentious aspect of decentralization you think you'll face in your career with Base? Is it a political one with Coinbase and like cutting the wire at some point or somewhere? Is it decentralizing the sequencer? Or like, what exactly is the hardest decentralization aspect, do you think, for this?
I think the technology is hard. I think it's a combination of like figuring out how do we do this inside of a big public company.
Yeah.
Like, how do we navigate that? And that's why we worked on this neutrality framework. We'll be talking about it more in the next couple of weeks. But it felt like we really needed to have like a principled framework for decentralization, how we get there, what it means, what our commitments are, what happens if we violate those commitments. That I think has probably been the single most complex, most interesting, and I think it probably will be the most impactful piece, because I think what will happen is we'll kind of get a lot of the kind of alignment at the social level for that, and then over time it will get enshrined in the code, and that will create this unstoppable code that becomes the foundation for our global economy. So I'd say that's probably the hardest thing. It's like figuring out how do we do this inside of a big public company and creating the social and technical systems that actually make decentralization possible.
It's pretty cool. Switching gears a little bit, I'll play devil's advocate for a bit.
Yeah.
I know you're not like econ, more focused on the technical side than the econ side within Coinbase's main business. But if I'm working at Coinbase, you know, I'm high up here in the centralized company, and I look at you and I say, Jesse, you know, how is this going to benefit our business, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do our shareholders get a token drop? Like, do we get fees when people move back and forth? Like, was there ever like a hard discussion on that? Or does the values of Coinbase just allow you to kind of grow and innovate and you kind of worry about that a bit later?
Yeah, it's a great question. And two answers here. One is that, you know, we are going to earn some small amount of fees just from operating the sequencer on the network. We expect that to be relatively small, not material, but it's still, you know, something that may be able to cover the costs of the underlying infrastructure, maybe a little bit of the team. So that's been a good kind of like starting point. I think in terms of where we see really the opportunity is if you look at Coinbase's track record in crypto and in our history, the way we've made money is by making crypto and using crypto easy to use and secure, trusted. And historically, there's not been that much to do in crypto. And so what that means is it means we've made it really easy to use and trusted for people to speculate. It's like you got one thing to do. It's been great. It's been a great business, yeah, right? Like we've built an incredible business over the last decade. But I think our thesis is that with Base, we're basically creating a developer platform that's going to enable 10x, 100x, 1000x more really useful things to do in crypto. And if we have those more really useful things to do in crypto, Coinbase is still going to be able to be that trusted, easy to use interface to do those things. And because folks are going to use Coinbase to do those things, we're also going to have the privilege of charging folks to, you know, continue supporting them with those incredible experiences. And so it's basically like we do one thing now and make money on it. What if we enabled people to do like 100 things? And we think that that's probably a way to make money for us as well.
Nice. So one of my last questions for you, and I'll let you get back to these ETH Paris activities. This has been tried that's a bad summation. This idea has been tried by other exchanges mm-hmm. in a way, right? Not nearly in the same fashion, but you know, Binance has BSC chain. Yep. Other exchanges have their own trials of this. Why is it different this time?
Yeah, and interestingly enough, we actually looked at launching a chain twice before. So in 2018 and 2020, we looked at launching a chain because, you know, we were looking at Binance Smart Chain and we were saying, whoa, like what's going on over there? Like, it seems like they're doing something right. And I'll give credit to Binance. I think that they really have been at the cutting edge with Binance Smart Chain in terms of thinking about how do we bring more of our business on chain. At each point in those two kind of chain evaluation processes, the thing that became obvious to us was that if we were to build a chain, it would end up being kind of a silo. Like it would be its own L1. It would kind of, we would put our users there. They would be disconnected from other parts of the crypto economy. And that just didn't really feel aligned to our values or ethos. And so I think the thing that really changed this year is it felt like for the first time we could build a chain in a way that A, it was an Ethereum L2, which meant that we were already connected into like the open, decentralized, you know, trading ground of the entire crypto economy, which gave us, you know, the feeling that we were part of something much bigger than us. And then B, we could build based on an open source technology stack that was public good that would both enable interoperability with other L2s so that our customers weren't siloed, but also just give back to make it so anyone else can benefit from the investments that we're making. And I think those two things, the connection into Ethereum and then the connection into other L2s and the broader ecosystem through the OP stack, that made it feel like this was the right time now. Third tries the charm, but it really did feel like it was a different situation with a different environment. And I think that is, that's what's going to differentiate Base from the other efforts, right? It's like we are going to be an Ethereum layer two, and we're going to benefit from bringing a ton of the Ethereum culture and users and assets in, and we're going to benefit Ethereum by bringing a ton of our users and assets from the off-chain world into the on-chain world through Base. And the value that we have about this is that Base is a bridge, not an island, which basically means that we think a lot of people will go from never having used crypto, never having been on chain, to being on chain with Base through Coinbase products and experiences. But then we're going to support them to go everywhere, whether it's other L2s, whether it's Ethereum L1, whether it's Solana, Bitcoin. Like Base is going to connect into all of these pieces and make it so that users can explore the broader economy when they want to. And so that is our vision. It's that Base is bigger than kind of just a thing that Coinbase is doing, but is actually something that furthers the entire crypto ecosystem and helps the whole pie grow.
That's really cool. Not to harp on this, but and not a massive success yet, hopefully soon, but for the builders out there, I mean, this was the third time you guys tried to build a chain. It was the fourth idea to go on chain, right? So an overnight success takes a long time, right?
Yeah, definitely no overnight success here. And you know, we're still very early. You know, builders can get started building on Base today. We'll be opening up the mainnet for everyone in the next few weeks. But it's gonna be a journey. I mean, I expect there to be ups and downs. And I will be happy and will pat myself on the back when we have 1 million builders and 1 billion users on chain. Hopefully a lot of those folks are on Base. But at the end of the day, I think this is about growing the crypto economy, because that's what is gonna increase economic freedom globally and make the world a better place.
Jesse, thanks for recording in Paris with me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for doing it with me too.